Crossway today. Please join us as we worship God and hear His word.
Sovereign God, O matchless King, the saints adore, the angels sing, and fall before the throne of grace. To you belongs the highest praise. These sufferings, this passing time,
Name above all names. worship you, Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like
us bringing the confession of our sin. And these are moments when we take off our mask. And these are moments when we put aside what maybe the person next to us thinks about us. And we bring ourselves just as we are. And in our worship, we confess our sin. So we're just going to take a few moments to do that. Maybe as you do that, just hold your hands out before God as a sign of saying, Lord, here I am. I've sinned. Maybe you need to name some of those things, maybe in the quietness of your heart before God. Lord, I have sinned. I've broken your heart. sins that sent you to the cross for me. Sin that weighed on your shoulders. And I come just as I am. And I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to set me free. I ask you to take away my sin and my guilt and my shame. And make my sin as far as the east is from the west from me.
Reality of that for each and every day. God, you are so good. And we love to worship you. Amen.
So as another year clicks over, we do well to try and get a little bit of perspective. Well, one gentleman who tried to get some perspective was a gentleman called Larry Walters. Larry had always hoped to be a pilot. In fact, he joined the Air Force when he got out of high school, but he failed an eye test, and so he wasn't going to be able to be a pilot. So when he got discharged from the armed forces, he became a truck driver. And so he continued to be a truck driver right through into his 40s, but the desire to fly never, ever left him. So he got a really good idea. He went to the Army surplus store and he bought 45 weather balloons, each which can hold a cubic meter or so of helium. And he connected those 45 weather balloons full of helium to a deck chair, just a fold-up aluminium chair that you'd sit on at the beach. And he equipped himself with a BB gun, which was to control his altitude if he needed to. He was just going to pop out a balloon. And he had some sandwiches. He had a few beers. He had a CB radio to talk to his wife. And the idea was that he would just be able to, like, gently elevate himself up, maybe 30 meters or so, and enjoy the freedom of flight. Well, when he disconnected, rather than kind of ascending slowly, he had rather dramatically underestimated the lift power of these 45 balloons, and he shot into the sky so rapidly his glasses fell off his face. You can look at it on YouTube. It's actually got filmed. You can hear his wife shouting to him to start using his BB gun because he didn't level off at 30 meters. He didn't even level off at 100 meters. He leveled off at 4,500 meters. In the old language, that's between 15 and 16,000 feet. And because he went up so quickly, he was feeling a little nervous about using his BB gun to pop some of his balloons. But once he got up there, it's very cold. The air is a lot thinner. And so he did actually pop a few BB guns before he dropped his rifle. But fortunately, he'd popped just enough to actually begin a very slow descent. But his trajectory took him, because he took off from North Hollywood in Los Angeles, and his trajectory took him into LA International Airport flight space for the descending planes. True story. Sounds like urban myth, but it's not. A Pan Am pilot phoned the tower, and can you even imagine that radio call as the pilot says, "I've just passed a man in a deck chair at 15,500 feet with a few beers and some sandwiches." And he got a different perspective, even though he didn't quite pull it off maybe the way he hoped to pull it off, and he became a celebrity for a very short period of time. Now, as we start 2017, I thought I'd actually take us into a space to give us a little bit of perspective, because another year has gone by. This poem is actually a brief poem. It's actually inscribed on a clock in Chester Cathedral. And it says, "When I was a child, I laughed and wept and time crept. When I was a youth, I dreamt and talked, time walked. When I became a man, time ran. Lad, as I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find, while travelling on, time gone." It's actually a slightly morbid poem, isn't it? But how true is that? I've got some markers in my life. I can remember maybe one of my first really big markers was 1980 when I graduated from high school in the United States in Colorado Springs, and class of 80, and I kind of remember that. I remember 85, that was my wedding year. I remember year 2000, remember Y2K? And the Y2K bug, which was going to bring the whole world to an end. All the planes were going to fall out of the sky, and all business and commerce globally was going to grind to a halt because of kind of microchip programming. None of that happened, but I remember Y2K just like that. That's 17 years ago. I'm already starting to experience the, when I became a man, time ran, and maybe I'm even starting to head towards the edge of later as I older grew, time flew. You know, I'm getting a little bit more time, but so are you. Like another year has just clicked over. And so I want us to kind of lift our gaze a little bit with this opening message of the year. And with a rather sober tone, actually, I got directed towards this text from 2 Peter chapter 3, where we read this. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise. That's about the promise of the return of Christ. It's about the promise of the conclusion of all things as we know them. So the Lord isn't being really slow about his promise, as some think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want everyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Can you say any yellow text with me? But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. A couple of our pastoral staff experienced a thief in their home just in this last week. Left the garage door open, and while the wife was home, a thief came through and stole one of our pastor's computers and some other things from their home. The day of the Lord, this awesome day of the return of Christ, this awesome day of the conclusion of all things, all of the natural order that we know, will come to a conclusion in what the Bible calls the day of the Lord. Some people think of time passing in a rather naturalistic sense. They perceive the earth as millions, hundreds of millions of years old, and they believe it will continue on for hundreds of millions of years, and that everything will just continue to evolve and progress. That's one worldview. And another worldview, it can be a little bit of a gloomy perspective. It's very existential. It just looks at what's happening. We've got climate change. We've got Donald Trump about to become president of the United States, and just promoting, even in this last week, kind of the renewal of the nuclear arms race, as Russia themselves kind of spoke into a similar domain. People look at global economies kind of teetering around a little, and so for some, they see a rather short line for the global community, but it's all very much in the hands of humanity. Some people will look at the future and the past in a much more cyclical sense. They would say, well, the oceans are heated, water evaporates into the air, it forms clouds, it rains into streams, the streams flow back into the ocean, and they would see history and the future very much like a circle. Birth, life, death, rebirth, and they would have a reincarnation theory happening around that whole thing, a very Eastern perspective, kind of a cyclical, that it rolls on. Summer always heads into autumn, or fall always heading into winter, heading into spring, only into another summer. And they would see history in a very cyclical sense and time in a very cyclical sense. Well, the Bible actually speaks about a sovereign God, and time is in his hands. And it says that one day he actually will conclude all things, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Look at these statements, so sobering. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, say it with me, what kind of people ought you to be? It's a great question. In light of the fact that God is actually going to conclude all things, what sort of people ought you to be? I've said this before, but in as much as the Bible speaks about this kind of this day of the Lord, wouldn't you love to be able to have a peep at his diary? Like, when is that? When's that one going to be? When's it going to happen? Imagine, because it says the number of days that are ordained for each one of our lives, it says are written in his book. Wouldn't you like to peep to that page on your days? How many days do I get? Am I going to see out 2017? Are you going to see it? I wonder who won't be here. I wonder who won't be on planet Earth on January the 1st, 2018. Whose year will 2017 be? We don't like to talk about these things very often, but it's real. It's true. Imagine if you could have a shirt that said how many days you had left to live. If you're going to live at a right to a ripe old age when you're young, you'd have tens of thousands of days numbered. It'd be a great big long number. But you know, the more decades you put under your belt, that number gets smaller and smaller. How do we feel when it drops from four numbers back to three? We're in the 900s of numbers of days. We drop inside 365. I'm inside my last year. Or when we drop inside 30 days, I'm inside my last month. Like, how are your priorities changing? In as much as since everything, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way. In other words, one day there's going to be a conclusion. If I got inside my last year, what am I going to do differently? Or inside my last month, or inside my last week. If I could peep at God's diary on when this day of the Lord is going to happen globally, or at least for me, what would you be doing different? What kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives, verse 12. Say it with me, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. As you look forward to it. Looking forward to that day? My daughter gets married on March the 4th. I'm looking forward to that day. It's going to be a joyous day. It's going to be a great day. But also we're speaking about the day of the Lord when everything as we know it will cease. But we can look forward to it and we can hasten it according to this passage. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens, pluralized statement, they're not heaven as we know it, but the heavens as in the atmosphere, by fire, and the elements will melt in its hand. Now, such a sobering word. I can remember as a teenager traveling out to Warrandyte and swimming in the Yarra River. We had a few favourite swimming holes, especially once we got our licences. We'd all jump in the car, nothing quite like a hot summer's day, and all heading out to the Yarra and swimming. There's rock pools and where the water would go over the rocks, and we'd just have a great time. So the idea of going for a swim in a river was just a good idea. I can remember more recently, like this is in the last 5 years, going for the first time up to the Northern Territory. And a whole different set of wildlife up there in the Northern Territory. And we were going to a waterfall, a popular swimming spot. And on the way in, I saw this sign. And that's a rather sobering sign. It's quite a warning, that sign. It speaks about crocodiles inhabit this area. Attacks cause injury or death. And we've got a nice crocodile with its mouth open there for those who can't read. And suggesting you shouldn't swim. We've even got a person in graphic form getting attacked by a crocodile. And it's like, wow. And then arriving at the waterfall, and this big swimming, and there were people everywhere in the water. People swimming. From a crocodile's perspective, I stood there and looked at it all, and I'm like, well, there's a lot of food out there already. And no one's hungry. So I went for a swim as well. Now, it can feel a little bit like that with regards to the day of the Lord. In fact, earlier in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says that there will be scoffers at that time saying, yeah. Like, what's happening about this whole, like, second coming of Christ? And, oh, yeah, as if God's going to do something. And look, it's all just rolling along. And has your God fallen asleep? Is he not watching? Is he not interested? And it's just all going to roll along. And people are just going to mock and scoff. And some of you might already experience that. You might already experience some of the awkwardness on Monday morning in your workplace where some of the young men are speaking about their sexual conquests over the weekend. Your children, your youth, your young adult children might already be occupying environments where drugs are becoming normalized, sexual activity is getting normalized, You might be aware of some kind of dodgy business deals that are happening in your workplace. And you know, how ought we to live? If there is actually going to be a day that God has set a day, and he gives us pretty stern warnings about it. Acts chapter 17, verse 31, it says, "For he has set a day." He has set a day. Say it with me, "when he will judge the world with justice by the man whom he has appointed, and he has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." Yes, Jesus one day will be judge. Right now, Jesus is offered to humanity as Savior, and one day you will stand in his presence and you will either face him as your Savior or you'll face him as your judge. It's too late to respond to him when you stand before him. Your opportunity to respond is now. Your opportunity to respond is as we go about this life. But once we enter the next realm, it's a time of reckoning. In John chapter 3, immediately after the most famous verse in the world, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life," we get these words: "God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world." So Jesus' first coming wasn't to judge the world, but to save the world through him. We feel good about that. But look at these subsequent statements. Say it with me. "There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son." Verse 19, "And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil." Now, this biblical teaching that one day we will stand before God, that one day, and whether it's at our own passing or whether it's with that climactic day of the Lord, when all of the earth as we know it and the heavens will be purged, and that something new will be ushered in. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says this: "For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We'll each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil we have done in this earthly body." This verse says we will stand before Christ. The Muslim will stand before Christ. The Buddhist will stand before Christ. The Hindu, the Sikh, even the atheist no more, will stand before Christ. Every Christian will stand before Christ. We get to stand before him. Now, there are these lovely assurances from the scriptures where it says this, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 John 1, where it says, "And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life." He said, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Assurance. I want you to know this. Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And in Jude's very brief single chaptered epistle, verse 23 and verse 24, "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you," how? "Present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy," not fear. So we can actually experience what it is to be in Christ, forgiven of our sins, that the sinless Son of God would actually come as a savior to the world so I can be forgiven. I don't have to be fearful about this day of judgment. But what a sober warning. It's the crocodile sign. And you can swim in the lake if you want to. But oh boy, God is not hiding the warnings that he's giving, that one day we will stand before Christ. Romans 2 puts it this way for those who want to snub their nose at that offer. Romans 2 verse 5. "But because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sin, you are storing up terrible punishment for yourself. For a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed." This is such a sober word to start 2017 with. But I would not be being a faithful minister of the gospel if you did not hear from this platform the warning that one day all humanity will stand before God and Jesus Christ himself will be the judge of all humanity. And on that day, you'll either know him as your Savior or you'll know him as your judge. So in John chapter 12, Jesus said these words, verse 48, "But all who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the truth I have spoken." Jesus wasn't hiding it. He spoke it very candidly. So back to our passage. In the sober reality, the crocodile sign is there. We've gone up. We're taking this different perspective about our lives. "How ought therefore we live," it said, verse 13. "But in keeping with his promise," say it with me, "we are looking forward." Oh, there's that phrase again. We're looking forward to this. Say it. "We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." Now, this idea, this Christian biblical idea of a new heaven and a new earth means we're not going to be disembodied ethereal spirits in the afterlife, but rather there is a resurrection body, just as Jesus had a resurrection body, and there will be a new earth. That your eternal future is not as an ethereal spirit, but actually a resurrected bodily person on a new earth where righteousness dwells. Now, some of us are going to need some new job training. I'm going to need new job training. There's not going to be need for a minister of the gospel on the new earth. Those of you who are lawyers, you're going to need new training. There'll be a police. There'll be no court system. All injustice will have been dealt with. Those of you who are medically trained, you're going to need some new training, because everything to do with sin and breakdown of our bodies, and every tear will be wiped from every eye. All you counselors, you're going to need new training. Social workers, new training is required. Those of you who do work with your hands, those of you who can produce, well done. You'll carry those skills into the new life. There is food there. Cooks, congratulations. You get to carry your skills forward. You might say, "I've had enough. I want new training as well." But we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. And verse 14, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward," oh, there's that phrase again. "Since you are looking forward to this," say it with me, "make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." How ought we therefore live? You are starting a new year. I'm starting a new year. Church online people, wherever you are in the world, you are starting a new year. How ought we therefore live? Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. This Bible text says just so candidly, live your life in the light of the reality that one day you will stand in the very presence of God. That wonderful t-shirt I spoke of earlier, getting down to your last 30 days, getting down to your last 7 days. I wonder how some of our priorities would shift. What are you going to do with your money at that point in time? How's that new car look when you're into your last 30 days? Maybe you don't need it anymore. How about that global trip? Well, you might actually want to do, kind of create some memories with your loved ones and the like, but If we got to peep into God's diary and it's the day of the Lord that's coming, it's like, I actually don't need to do that global trip anymore at this point in time. There's a new heaven and a new earth coming. It's going to do our minds in. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of humanity, the good things that God has prepared for those who love him, beyond our wildest imaginations." Out of the goodness and love and provision of God, we can know Jesus as Savior, or we can know him as Judge. And as we start 2017, let's make every effort, therefore, to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. At peace with him. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "As we live in God, our love grows more perfect." That shows progression. We should be encouraged by that, that it's possible to progress. We all need to be able to progress, that our love becomes more perfect. I find it incredibly reassuring that it's not possible for me to be good enough to be right with God. Very reassuring, because I know I can't be good enough. My dear mother, who was worshiping at the last service, bought an iPad. She smashed her old one. It was already about 5 years old. Not on purpose. Just accidentally smashed it. But it was about 5 years old. And so she graced herself with a new iPad. And I was trying to help her set it up. I've tried to help her before doing these things. And invariably we get to a point where it asks for a username and a password. And at that point, she always gives the same response. It's a rather blank look on her face. Then she goes and gets a book. And then in that book, there are multiple usernames and multiple passwords, none which connect to anything. So this week just gone by, as I was trying to assist her with that, and she watched my frustration levels rising on a fairly sharp incline, actually, because we've done this several times before. I say, oh, for goodness sake, Mum, why don't you write these things down, like just on a page? This is an Apple ID, and you write your username and you write your password. Just keep them like that. You've got several of them and write them down. And she tapped me on my back and she said, don't worry, I'll call Apple support and a nice young man there will help me. I felt like a zero as a son at that point in time, but I accepted it. And I left, and I saw her the next day, and it was all done. And yes, a nice young man at Apple Support had helped her with everything. And how nice is it that I don't have to try and be good enough to be right with God? And left to my own devices, I can run out of patience pretty quickly, and Edie knows that one all too well, and I can get frustrated with things, and I hate not being able to solve something, and all those sorts of things. But as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. But look at this. Say these next words with me. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. Pause there. So we will not be afraid. In the 2 Peter chapter 3, twice over, it speaks about looking forward to that day. Here it speaks about not being afraid on the day of judgment. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I can look forward to that day when I will stand before Christ and I will know that the sinless Son of God paid the price of my sins. And on that day, it's a judgment towards reward, not a judgment toward punishment, because Christ has already paid my debt. I can look forward to that day. I will not be afraid on that day. To him who is able to present me absolutely faultless with exceeding joy, I look forward to that day. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, you will not sneak in on that day into the back door. You will arrive spotless and with great joy. It's a wonderful thing. It's not a seesaw. It's not the scales. How good you've been, how naughty you've been. There's no scales like this. It's all about what Jesus has done for you. Do you know him as your Savior? So we'll not be afraid on that day of judgment, but we can face him, say these words with me, with confidence. You can face him with confidence. Not afraid. Face him with confidence because I actually find this next phrase very sobering. Because we live, say it with me, we live like Jesus here in this world. So how are you going on that one? How are you going living like Jesus in this world? When your neighbors bump into you, your working colleagues, those of us who are parents, your kids like bumping into Jesus when they bump into you. Husbands, is your wife bumping into Jesus when they bump into you? Wives, I'm not going to let you off the hook. Is your husband experiencing the joy of grace that you don't have a memory like an elephant for his failings? But you extend warmth and grace and love towards your husband because when he bumps into you, it's like bumping into Jesus. Those of you who have got leadership responsibility at work, those who are accountable to you. You know, in some cultures, those who have leadership responsibilities lord it over those who are under them, and they will treat people without grace, and they'll be sharp, and they'll be harsh, and they'll be demanding, and they'll be demeaning. It's almost like they reduce the dignity of the people who are under them. But you meet a great Christian leader, and it's like people under them, their lives expand. and they're given dignity and hope and opportunity. And those of you who've got supervisory responsibilities, when people you're supervising bump into you, it's kind of a little bit like bumping into Jesus. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we will face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. We're going to be God-like. And I tell you what, here we are, it's the start of a new year, first day of 2017. Congratulations, you've got a 100% attendance record at church for the year. Well done. Just hang in there. Have you honored God with your tithe this day, this week? 100% record. God, I'm honoring you with what you've graced me with. Take your time with him. Open your heart towards him. By the grace of God, we get a fresh start. And can I say to any of you who are visiting with us here today, or even if you're a regular, you might be at church online, and you're not sure how you stand with God, I want you to hear this very clearly. The Bible says, if any person is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. It's possible to be forgiven, using biblical language, to be washed clean by the blood of Christ. That he can wash away our past. He can wash away our sin. He can wash away our failure. He can recreate us as a new person. And that potential exists for every single one of us. The opportunity to start afresh with God. So I'm going to invite us right now to bow our heads and pray. I'd like to lead two different types of prayers. I'd like to lead a prayer for those who are not sure whether you're right with God. Wherever you are with church online, you might be in a country where this is new information to you. You're not sure if you're right with God. Please understand this. Jesus said, I'd rather die for you than live without you. You can know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. You might like to pray a prayer along this line, if that's you, where you can say, Lord God, I want to say thank you for a new year. I want to say thank you so much that the Bible says you love me. I'm made in your image. And Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Thank you. I don't have to try and be good enough to be right with you. But the offer of forgiveness is there for me. So right now, Jesus, please see me. See my heart. See my faith. Because right now, as best I know how, I want to reach out to you. Please come to me. Forgive me of my sins. I want to turn away from all of that stuff that would ruin my life and separate me from you and my self-rule and my own way. And I want to turn to you. I want to start doing life your way. So God, by faith right now, as best I know how, I ask Jesus to be my Savior. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a follower of Jesus. So make that real in my heart right now. If that's your prayer, I pray right now that God will come to you and will fill your heart by his Holy Spirit. You'll know forgiveness of sin. You'll know what it is to be a son or a daughter of the living God. You'll know what it is to have a fresh start at the start of this year. And I'm going to invite you to do something right now. You're at church online. Hit next steps. You're here. While others have their heads bowed and are praying for you, lift your face and raise your hand high above your head on the count of three. Are you ready? One, two. You now want to identify yourself as a Christian. Three, raise your hand high and look me in the face so I can see you. Give a big wave. You say, yeah, that's me. Bless you, sir. Bless you. Give your hand, raise your hand high. Lift your face and look at me. Say, yeah, today's my day. Today's the day where I make my life right with God through Jesus. Is that you? Lift your hand right now. Lift your hand where you are. Thank you so much, Father. Wherever you are around the global community, if you're putting your trust in Jesus right now, you just take a next step. Hit that next steps tag there. So, Father in heaven, for each one as they respond to you right now, may they know what it is for you to come to them and heal and forgive and restore them from their sins. I want to lead a second prayer, and this is for Christian people. And you know you're right with God, and you already call yourself a Christian. You'd say, yeah, Jesus, what Jesus did, he did for me. But there's a start of a new year. There's a chance for a fresh start. And you want to come back. You want to say, Lord, I want to start afresh with you. God, right now, by your Holy Spirit, stir people's hearts for a fresh start, to come home, to come back to him, to have that opportunity to be restored and renewed because you've been away. And if that's you, I want to pray for you, for God to bless you. As a Christian person, you raise your hand right now. You say, yeah, that's me. It's time to come home. Bless you. Yeah, bless you. Just throw your hand up. It's a good thing to respond to God. Bless you all over the place. If you're at church online, you can go into one of the counselors. Will pray with you in one of the rooms. Just click the prayer button. So, Father, for each one now who raised their hand, hold them up high. For each one who right now seeks to respond to you by faith, bless them, I pray, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Refresh and renew them. Pour out your Holy Spirit on them, that each one can know that you, as the living God, love them and that you are for them. Thank you for the opportunity for a fresh start. If any person is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So, Father, thank you. We can look forward confidently with you. We love you, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. And God's people said, amen.
Never runs out on me.
joining us today. If you have prayer needs or would like to discuss your personal relationship with God, we have people waiting to speak with you and to pray for you. Our telephone lines are open for the next 30 minutes, so why not phone us now on 03 9886 3700. To buy a copy of today's message on CD, send a cheque for $6 to Crossway Resource Centre, 2 Vision Drive, Burwood East, Vic 3151. Remember, our telephone help is open right now for the next 30 minutes on 03 9886 3700. To help support the cost of producing this weekly radio program, send your donation to Crossway Radio Ministry, 2 Vision Drive, Burwood East, Vic 3151. For more information about Crossway, visit us on the web at crossway.org.au. Bless you, Lord.